My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. These words of Jesus in the Gospel of St. John speak comfort and promise to those who know that life and peace may only be found by abiding in the Savior. Always with Christ is a ministry of Holy Cross Anglican Church. Located in the desert mountains of Alpine in far west Texas, Holy Cross seeks to faithfully serve our Lord and our community by sharing the love of God in Jesus Christ, teaching the doctrine of the apostles, and breaking the bread of life. In this series, Father Damian Grout helps us understand the wisdom of observing the church year and the way it plays an important role in conforming us to the image and likeness of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
In this first series of programs on Always with Christ, we are striving to stay close to the Savior by following the wisdom given to us in the church year. We have said that the first half of the year revealed who God is and the salvation He has wrought through His Son and by His Spirit. Now in the second half of the year, which we call Trinity season, having seen and believed, we are called to follow this Christ, to become His disciples by being disciplined in His ways. In our time together, we are usually looking at two passages of Holy Scripture, one from the Gospels and one from an epistle. And these lessons together lead us through the annual cycle. But why these readings? For example, today we're going to be talking about what St. John the Apostle writes in the third chapter of his first epistle, together with the parable of our Lord from Luke chapter 14. But why? Are these simply verses that I decided should be read together on this second Sunday after Trinity? Not at all. But who decided? The lessons that we explore together in these programs are the same lessons that the Church in the Christian West has been reading since the 4th century. The record of the yearly cycle of readings has come down to us through St. Jerome, but he is only recording not what he thinks the church should be reading, but the already established pattern for each Sunday. We realize that from very early on, the church spreading throughout many lands saw the need to read and interpret the scriptures together and to be formed into one unified people of God whose head is Christ Jesus. And up until very recent days, the historic church has followed this pattern of readings, because it has been the pattern laid down for nearly two millennia to teach us the Christian story, who we are and what we in Christ are called to become. In these Sundays in Trinity season, we are being taught what it means to live life as partakers of the divine nature, to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. We are self-consciously joining with the church of our fathers and mothers in the faith, and we are seeking to be formed along with them in the way of Christ. So today, our Trinity season journey calls us to consider our priorities, to think about how it is that we order our days. In the Gospel lesson, our Lord tells a parable about a man, a king, who makes a great supper to which many are invited. The moment of the feast finally arrives, and the Lord of the supper sends out his servant to announce to those who had been invited, "Come, for all things are now ready." And they all with one consent began to make excuse, our Lord says. The first said unto him, "I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused." And another said, "I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused." And another said, "I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come." None of these who were invited to the feast could have been surprised at the summons. They did not know the moment at which the king would open the doors to his house, but they knew that the banquet was being prepared and that they should have been ready. But what do? They make excuses for why they will not come. No one who makes his excuse is tied up in any great evil or wickedness. There is no mention of any crime, there is no list of notorious behaviors. The king never said that they shouldn't buy land, nor that they shouldn't have oxen, nor that they should not marry. And when their lives are properly ordered, these are all things that the king would have approved. However, when these good things are disordered, when they take priority over more important things, they become entanglements and cause us to miss what is essential, he who is the source of every good thing. These who make excuse when the summons comes don't think of themselves as rejecting their king. They do not see themselves as rebels, yet this is precisely what they are. So when the servant returns to the king and reports that those that were first invited are too busy to come, we should not be surprised that the master is angry. nor at his rejection of those who had first been invited. For he says, I say to you that none of those that were bidden shall taste of my supper. They are rejected not because there is a long list of egregious offenses, but because they did not order their life according to that which was truly important. They did not have the eyes to see that their king was the source of their very life, and a loss of communion with him would be the loss of everything else. They put the lesser in place of the greater, and the consequences were severe. Now this lesson is for us. We all order our lives according to that which we think is most important. It doesn't matter what we say is most important. Our actions show it. The Bible says that Christians worshiped God on Sunday, on the first day of the week, signifying that God is the first and most important priority for what will come the following week. Our King invites us every Sunday to come and feast on His Word, and He promises to fill us with His grace and love, enabling us to receive His life into us and to do what is impossible without Him. When we can see that loving God with all our heart, soul, and mind must become the ultimate priority of our lives, then out of this love for God will flow our love for our brothers and sisters. St. John writes in the epistle, My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue. He reminds us that sometimes talk is cheap. The call is to love in deed and in truth. The sign that we have passed from death to life, the proof that we belong to the kingdom of God, is displayed in the love that we have for the brethren, in the love that we have for our fellow Christians. And this love isn't just a sentiment. It is what we see made manifest in our Lord Himself. We understand what love is in Him. We understand it in this, that He laid down His life for us, and it is this kind of love that we are called to offer up first to God and then to our fellow Christian. Today, you are called to the heavenly banquet of the eternal King. What will you do? Put your attention toward things that are quickly passing away? Make excuses about why you cannot come? Or will you heed the invitation of the King of Glory to meet with Him and share His table? Jesus said, I am the bread of life which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Amen.
Holy Cross Anglican Church is committed to upholding the historic Christian faith of Christ and His apostles through word and sacrament. We are located across from the golf course at 903 Fighting Buck Avenue in Alpine. Join us to worship on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. For more information, find us on Facebook at Holy Cross Anglican Church, Alpine, Texas.